Well, I set up the fan dipole antenna up in the attic.
Mm-hmm.
I've been doing mostly CW and RTTY contests.
Yeah.
A fan dipole?
Fan dipole.
Yeah, so...
What's a fan dipole?
Basically, there's a single center insulator, but several separate dipoles coming out of that same center insulator cut for different...
One above
bands.
The other, one above the other. How many bands have you got in?
40, 20, 15, and 10.
Wow.
So,
you got that much room in your attic?
I have a pretty big attic, but it's a first floor, a one floor house.
Yeah.
So the feed point is probably up around 20, 21 feet.
Yeah.
It's not great.
Yeah.
But it's
good.
It's fairly decent. I haven't been able to make any contacts on 10 meters. It hasn't been open whenever I've been up there working. But
so how do you switch between the dipoles?
You don't have to.
Okay.
See, each of the wires is cut for to be resonant within that band. And so if you transmit on, say, the 20-meter band, the 40, 15, and 10-meter antennas are not resonant. So there's going to be a high Q or high impedance.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just not going to put any energy into those. So just about all the energy is going to go into the 20-meter, which is what you want.
Mm-hmm.
So the problem
with
that...
And so you don't need a tuner either?
You don't really need one, but I use the tuner just to get the SWR down. Yeah.
Keeps the SWR down.
Uh-huh. But you can get by with a built-in tuner or something.
Yeah. That's why I usually use my KX3 and I have a tuner in there. That's a pretty nice internal tuner. So, but I typically have SWR without the tuner about 1 to 3.
Okay.
So I don't really need
the KX3 transmit with 1 to 3.
It'll transmit at 3 to 1, at a 3 to 1 ratio. But I'd rather just use the tuner to get down to closer to 1 to 1.
Because my 857, when it gets up to 2.5 to 1, boom, power goes down
exactly
like that.
So I have a tuner for the 851 in case I use that one. So I do have an external tuner for that.
Yeah.
Well, I'm thinking of what antenna to set up at my house. I don't have restrictions. I don't have to be in the attic or anything.
Yeah, for me, it's not.
You
it isn't HOA or anything.
I'd like to have one that would do as many bands as my radio can do.
G5RV is one that goes from 80 up to 6.
But I need to have an external tuner for that. I have an internal tuner in my radio, but
right.
I can only do like 3 to 1.
Oh.
For it's the tuning ability.
Well, you know, on my
857, I was thinking of a Skyloop.
That'll work.
But I need an external tuner for that, too.
Yeah.
But this fan dipole sounds pretty good.
Four bands is pretty good.
It's okay. If you have enough room to string up a dipole, it's a good way to get multiple bands out of
it. Yeah, I have plenty of room, but I have trees in my house.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for me, it isn't HOAs that's the problem. It's the power lines along 3.
Oh, don't talk to me about power.
I don't want to get electrocuted.
Okay.
So I can't put up a tower or anything. I might be able to put up a short vertical. And be safe. Not from a safety perspective.
Let me tell you.
10 feet away from the...
How close are you to the power lines?
On two sides of my house, the back and one, and the east, it's literally going into the house or almost overlapping the roof.
Ouch.
So there's no setback there.
No.
From the front of the house, I have maybe 30, 35 feet.
Okay.
So that's not a lot of room.
My power lines where I live to the east of me are 100 feet from me, 33 kVA power lines. And so I put up a 9-inch tower at 37 feet. And then I've got another 10 feet on top of that. And that's all I'm going because on top of those kVA poles across from LAX, big old... round ones, about that round.
Right.
They've got that darn lightning arrestor line that goes on the top. So look and see if you've got lightning arrestors up there. If you haven't, then stay away from those darn towers.
Yeah.
That's for sure. Yeah. That's the reason I asked the question, because I've got 100 feet to the east of me, to the south of me, I've got about 1, 2, 3, 4 blocks.
Oh, okay.
To the north of me, I've got another 600 feet, one block, and then I've got the darn 4 or 5 freeway 70-foot berm to the east west of me.
What's your address, Archie?
5010 West 119th Street. I'm in an RF suck-up hole, as I call it.
That's exactly what I call it.
190th, 5010, 190th. 5010, 119th
place.
Hawthorne,
yeah. There's my house with them two darn vans in there. See the freeway over to the other side?
Is this your house?
That's my house with that darn antenna out there. See where the little red thing is? That's where my tower is. I don't know whether you can zoom in on that.
So you have a tower coming out of the roof?
Your tower's coming out here?
No, back by the end of the fence.
That's
right there.
Oh, right here.
Yeah, that's a tower.
Yeah, that's the shadow.
Yeah, that's a shadow of the tower.
So you have, and it's tucked in here holding on to the...
It's
holding on to the house.
Again, to the house. I got a little...
A bracket.
Bracket up there. Poke holes through the house and hold it.
So you have a light pole here.
Yeah, but that's just a light standard for that. But if you go,
Where's
go to the right, right there on the street. Come down south. Let's see, where is that damn thing? Almost on the
right
corner.
Here.
Yeah, that's you. They see the
see the pole. See that darn thing?
See the shadow.
From here.
That's 90
that's
feet up.
That's a tall pole.
Yeah, that's 90 feet up, and then on 10 feet above it, it's got the goddarn lightning arrestor things. And they've got some insulators on them that are 4 feet tall. But whenever it gets foggy, those
they
insulators
buzz,
they arc.
They buzz like mad. Like last night on 20 meters, it was horrendous on 20 meters. Mm-hmm. I had an S9 plus on 20 meters. On 40 meters, same thing. And on 3.5, I had an S6 plus buzzing in because it was just a little bit windy and foggy. When it gets windy and foggy over there, it just messes me up. So I do the best I can. Generally run VHF.
So
and those poles run up the street.
How tall is this tower?
37 feet.
Okay.
It's only that big, a 9-inch square. It's a V tower, 9 inches. Very light. We used to call them TV towers. Go up to 119th Street, you'll find some more towers up there.
So, what's yours, Bernie?
Yeah.
What's your address?
Bernie.
Oh, sorry. 2459
West 229th Street, Torrance.
You're in Carson?
No, it's Torrance.
Torrance, okay.
See, so you can see in that picture there, they're along the east side of my house and slightly overlapping the roof, yeah. There's that's power lines going from
power
the street
yeah.
to the back, to a pole in my neighbor's house or neighbor's yard, and then it goes from there into the north end of my house.
Which one is it? This one?
No, yeah, just above the arrow, Go up, yeah, that one.
Wow, you've got a building behind you that does a lot.
Yeah, I have a yard.
Yeah, I have no yard, so I can't put any ground, ground-mounted vertical or anything. I don't really have any room for anything other than maybe I could put up a pole on the left, on the west side there. There's the minimum legal setback there.
Right here?
Yeah, so along that fence there between the fence and the roof, I could, in theory, put a pole there and put like some kind of dipole or Wyndham or something.
Well, you could put a pole here and a pole here and have a dipole across the roof.
No, the problem is on the upper, the northeast corner there, that's where the power lines are coming down into my house. So the whole north and east ends of my house are really close to power lines.
So is this a pole? The power
yes,
pole?
That's
the
shadow.
Are they wood poles? You can go up on that pole 40 feet if you want to and attach one end of a wire.
Yeah.
Because that's what I've done. And all you have to do is just attach it up there and take it down when they tell you to.
Yeah, I know, but I wouldn't feel safe.
Actually, the pole, it looks like, is
it's not in my yard. Yeah, it's not in my yard.
Yeah, well, I got one in my
backyard. The pole comes down right here.
Right.
On the north, on the southwest corner. And I've got my G5 RV, one end of it attached to it, and then the other end of it attached to the tower.
And on the south side here, the power lines are running along the street here. So I can't go too high here without running a risk of the power lines.
But they're on the other side of the street.
They are, but it's, they recommend you be at least twice as far away as the distance.
You could You could do the sky loop too.
Except I really don't want to go on the north or east sides of the house because the power lines are right there.
No, but just hanging under your eaves all the way around the house.
Yeah.
Oh, that works darn good. I've known some guys that did that.
Or you can put it on little pylons.
Right.
Like 12 inches above the edge of the roof.
Right.
All the way around the perimeter.
Darn good.
To just get the maximum area.
Just do it all the way around.
Because you want, I think it's like 580 feet of wire.
That's right.
Oh, I definitely don't have.
If you've got metal downspouts.
Because that'll give you one wavelength of 160 meters.
Yeah, I definitely don't have that much. But the other thing is, it's going to be low. It's only going to be about 7 feet off the ground.
Sky loop goes on the roof.
On the roof.
Yeah, no. The bottom of my roof there is only about 8 feet up off the ground.
Oh, it's got to be a minimum of 10 feet.
No, the roof there extends below the level of the ceiling.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, but your ceiling is 8 feet. No, 7 feet. And so the bottom of the roof stands below that. And you can take the sky loop and where your fascia comes out?
Right.
And put the darn pylons for the sky loop on the fascia because it's square down there. Or if you have a square fascia that comes down that's painted, you can put the darn sky loops on those darn things. And the damn things are damn near invisible if they're painted the same color as your fascia is painted. And then just run them around there and make a dipole off the darn thing.
It has 230 feet.
How much does he have?
230.
Man, that'll make a good long wire sky loop.
That's a 80 meter. That's the wavelength you need for 80 meters.
That's a full wavelength for 80 meters.
A full wavelength resonant for 80 meters.
And that'll
if you did that around your roof.
That'll give you everything from 80 meters all the way up.
All the way up with a tuner.
With a tuner.
But that's why I don't have a tuner yet.
You going to buy an auto tuner or a manual tuner?
Get an auto tuner. Manual tuners are okay.
Manual tuners. I forgot how to tune the darn thing.
But you could. So you don't have enough space to do the 500 feet, but you could. You could do 80 meters with the sky loop.
Yeah, you put it right there where it should be, and it'll be what, 12 inches above the roof.
Yeah, just put it on little space.
And those darn things work good. My buddy over in Carson has got a sky loop on his two-story. He's, 3,600 square feet inside, four bedrooms, two-story. He's got his sky loop over there. Man, that son of a gun is only about four countries away from working all countries. He's got a WAZ, worked all states. He's got worked all counties, and he's got one... worked all zones. He's getting four away from work all zones.
Here's mine.
Yeah.
This is my problem.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a spot for a tower.
Oh, you got a lot of trees around there, haven't you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But one of my idea is to do the sky loop using trees.
That'll work. Put them up in there. What size wire are you going to use? You have any idea?
12 gauge probably.
Are you going to be running over a kilowatt?
I don't have an amp. I'm only running 100 watts right now.
Because you can use smaller size wire
and
get the same effect. Like on those poles I was talking to you about, those push-up and lock-in poles, 33 feet, the guy had a little small, he was only running 100 watts, but he had a little small ballon. mm-hmm. and he was running 22 size wire with 100 watts.
I was thinking the other wire I was thinking of doing that I can get cheap is aluminum welding wire.
Oh.
And it's small and inexpensive.
Yeah.
But I can get 80 meters too. See, it's 81 meters.
Yeah.
266 feet.
Well, I'm telling
if
you.
If I do that. And then I have these attached to the trees
mm-hmm.
with a rope to bring it out so it won't be touching the trees.
Yeah.
I
That's
have
be a job
power poles here, and I have a power coming into the house right mm-hmm. along this line. Mm-hmm. So it would actually be above my feed line to the house. Because my feed line goes from here out that way.
Yeah.
To the pole through this tree.
You was looking at my tower, and when you look to the south of the bottom of it where my tower is, that's where my power pole comes in. But I tell you another thing. The telephone company has a AT&T or whatever it is, has a line that comes to the back side of my house across the back, east and west.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, across the back and then north and south from their pole. And I had my guy, when he put up the darn three-element the tri-band antenna for 1.2, 440 and stuff and 2 meters. I told him, I said, climb up that darn pole and tie those wires together because I use Vonage. I don't use that, and they've still got the wire up there. Uh-huh. So I'm going to take the darn wires, 4 wires in there, whatever it is the telephone company uses, about 24-gauge wire.
Mm-hmm.
Tie it all 4 in one end. Take the other end, stretch it down across the east side of my house to within where my antenna goes in the window. Put me a 9-to-1 dialing up there and check it out and see how it's going to work for a long wire. It's about 160 feet with all of that stuff.
So that's my idea for the sky loop. But I guess if I did your dipole system, my feed point is right under here.
Yeah.
That's where my shack room is.
Well,
so how would I hook up the dipole? They don't all have to be in the same parallel to each other, right?
Yeah,
can
they
make
don't.
It a star or something?
Yeah, you can. In fact, a lot of people do that.
You can hook a dipole up across that way and across that way. Across the front, down at the bottom, and across there. You just can't fold the dipole up where your beast comes like that. You can't fold it back on itself and have it work.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's less than a 90 degree
mm-hmm.
or 90 degrees or less, then you can make it work pretty good. I think the maximum that you can get out of there is 90 degrees. But if you open it up to maybe 75 degrees, it'll work pretty damn good.
Yeah. How long are the legs, each of them?
Well, for 40 meters, each one would be about 33 feet, right?
Feet on there.
Oh, that's...
That's 60 feet he's got in there. That's a lot of antenna space inside there.
So that's 44 feet.
Mm-hmm.
That's 33 feet. That's each leg, that's both?
Each leg.
Okay, so it's 66 feet long.
Total, yeah.
Yeah, take and bend it.
But it doesn't have to be a straight line. It can be...
No, it can be bent.
Yeah.
Where's 66?
And bend it in the center.
Okay, so this could go, like, maybe over to this corner.
Well, you're going to need room for probably the ropes and insulator at the end, too. But.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you don't need, if you've got an auto antenna tuner and you don't have enough space, like from my back place, I don't have enough space between that and the tower. I've only got 90 feet, and the G5RV is 105 feet or 102 feet. And so what I did is I took 90 feet off of there, and I took 6 feet off of each end.
Mm-hmm.
To give me 86 feet. I took the darn insulator took the 6 feet off, backed it up on itself, and wrapped the wire around there so the insulator would pull from there. And I constructed that way, and I have about a 4 foot, about that much of a loop in there on each end so I can fit it in there. And with the auto antenna tuner, man, it works damn good. I can put 500 watts into that darn thing on 80 or 40 with my ALS 500.
Okay, so to the meeting, if Don shows up, he'll give us an SDR presentation. I don't think he's going to be here at least. But I have some ideas of things that we should purchase. I did my study for the extra through this ham test online system, and they have a Ham It Forward program where you can get the technician online study course for $15 each, and you have to minimum quantity of 5 of them you buy. It includes a free general class course for some of your other members of your club. And the club, the idea is the club purchases it and advertises it and the Orbiter and whatever for free ham radio lessons for new members or people wanting to become a ham, and just give it to them. And but also, I would think we would assign a club member to that person to mentor them and help them get along.
That's good.
Like call them and see if they're studying and when's their exam date and stuff like that. And if they have any other questions that aren't covered in the course. What do you think?
I think that's
a good
idea.
I think it'll help us get members, because it's something that we could advertise to the aerospace population to get more members. That's one thing I think we have a problem with, is not enough active club members.
Yeah, well, don't feel like you're by yourself.
But I think this is a way to get new club members.
Yep. If you advertise a free class, god darn it, they're going to come out of the woodwork. Whether they join or not is another question.
Because that can get people into technician pretty easily. And then it's only a...
And there's another thing that you can do to help them join the club. You can say, well, I'll give you a $35 Bofang if you join the club. Because we've got a repeater here. Or we've got a repeater.
We use a repeater.
Right. 440.
Uh-huh.
And then there's a batch of 2-meter repeaters on there.
Mm-hmm.
And that way will be an incentive for them to come in.
Yeah, I mean, club can pay if they 20. Pass the test, to give them a radio.
Give them the radio. Program the frequencies in that you want them to have, and of course they'll change them if they
bars.
Yeah, but you program one, at least one of them in there that you want
for
them
the check in that.
Yeah,
that we need.
And $35. We gave away a Los Angeles Radio Club had 7 new guys here, and we gave away 2 Bofangs because all the rest of them had the radios already before we gave them. There was only 2 of them that did not have them. $35 each, and they know how to program them and get the darn things each, you know. And they got them on when they finished the darn tests and got their licenses, and they got the Bofang there, but it was programmed into our favorite frequency, our simplex frequency, 144.430. Wasn't hardwired, but they had that program in there, so whenever they turned on the radio, that's where it went. Of course, like I said, the guys took the darn thing and put in about 10 different repeaters, and boy, they're out there having a ball. But they do check in on Saturday night with me every couple of three Saturdays nights with me, and some are in Englewood, some are in Carson, and if I can't hear them on Simplex, there's some of the other guys that can. We have a 440 repeater on the test pair, but we don't have any repeaters in our club at all. Oh, so that's the way it goes. That's a good idea for purchasing, getting guys out.
Oh.
Free radio, and the club could stand that.
Mm-hmm. Well, we don't have the treasurer or a quorum, so we can't pass it this time, but yeah. I think it's a good idea. I'll bring it up at Christmas. We might have a quorum there.
We're going to hold Christmas party at the same place we've been before. Good.
And the other one is I brought the buddy pole with me on my trip to Lick Observatory and used it. I brought my radio and I borrowed the club's buddy pole. And I have some ideas to improve it. One of the things that, and there's a book or a big PDF document, you can get it as a book that has good recommendations of setting up your buddy pole and stuff.
Yeah.
One of the things he mentioned was these long telescopic whips. It comes with two that are pretty short, and these ones, when they're compressed, are the same length as the other stuff in the bag, so it doesn't mean it takes up more space in the bag or anything. But on 10 and 12 meters, you can eliminate using the coils.
Oh.
So you don't have to have the coils at all on 10 and 12, which makes it more efficient, better bandwidth, and easier to
tune, much
things
larger
like that. And even on the other ones, when you still have to use the coil, you have more radiating metal rather than the coil.
Hanging in the sky.
So I was thinking of that. There is a mast guying kit, which we don't have, which would make it a lot safer. Definitely need that. There's this JAWS antenna mount. That's a little picture of it on the right. And you can set it up, a antenna built from the buddy pole directly to a railing, like if you're in a hotel or something.
Yeah.
And you can clamp it to that. They recommend also this triple ratio switch Malin, so that you can make verticals that aren't with the horizontal dipole and the way it is, you get 50 ohms impedance generally to the radio, or something that the radio, if it has an automatic tuner or the KX3, can easily handle. But without this Balin, it's really hard to do the verticals because they have a different impedance. And so I would propose getting that, and then the counterpoise radial system to set up verticals with it, because verticals often are a good idea to use with it.
Counterpoise,
and then maybe the antenna analyzer if we have the money, if have the funds for it.
The best antenna analyzer is only about $399.
Well, this one is designed for work, or is a good one to work portable with this, with the buddy pole. That's what they recommend. It's only
$229.
And we could just put it in the bag with the system. That
is a cross needle analyzer. Cross needle analyzer.
I don't know.
I think it's digital.
It's digital.
Digital.
Digital. It measures impedance as well.
Of
your antenna.
I have a preference for cross-needle analyzers as opposed to digital, because I can see the exact things of having on two bases at once, as opposed to just having the SWR down low and all the rest of those stuff. But there's one that makes it. It's called a CAA 500. I don't know who makes a darn thing. But it has cross-needles in there, and then it has a plot out in the bottom, digital plot in the bottom, that lets you plot each frequency in different colors. I think it's $399.
I don't think we need that fancy of one for a portable. This is to go in the kit with the buddy pole, be used, either borrowed by club members or to be used on field day. That's my ideas for that. And again, no quorum, so can't.
Yeah, just good ideas to let you go.
What do you think?
Well, I know Joe had put in a bunch of items in the budget, including like some remoting stuff. Where is he going off and getting those already? Or
I'm not sure. He hasn't been at meetings for a while.
Yeah, he has a conflict with this time normally.
Oh, really? have another clubber work.
Yeah, some week? Yeah, some I don't know, some other work related meeting or something on Thursday, so I'm just not.
And if you run into a place where you need to spend some money, you can always buy that $9,500 bare bones, $2,500. That's without the DSP, without the D-Star. It's just a bare bones radio. It comes with a 15 megahertz.
Why didn't you get the Flex? You got all that cash, man.
I don't like using the computer.
Why didn't you get
the
Flex radio that does everything 6,000 anybody could ever want?
But that one only does...
They'll take your money.
Oh, yeah, they'll take my money. I got a buddy that's got that Flex. I think it only goes HF 2 meters and 440. The reason I got this one is because it's got 1.2 gig. That 1.2 gig thing costs $650 to have it put in there.
Okay.
So this is my early Christmas present to me.
Mm-hmm. Next issue we have is morning net. We need a new net control. And though we could just wait until January when Teresa comes back, which would be bad. I've tried to do it from my car. I probably can do it from my car, at least on the repeater.
As an old guy, I don't get up that early.
I know you do.
Anymore. I'm sorry.
Excuses, you're retired.
I don't have to do it, so since I don't.
So are you here, Ryan?
No, I'm generally not even here at 8. I haven't even bothered to turn on my VHF UHF rig in the past 2 months.
Yeah, well, that's why you don't check in.
Yeah.
Anyway, that, I think, if we don't get off our Bahamagises and take care of this, we're going to have trouble from the company. Sponsor us.
Wow. Why, though? I mean, this really does not provide a lot of value.
It does, because this is what we've
emergency preparedness.
But what does this do? Think of it as an experiment, right?
It tells the company every day where the hams are and that there are hams, and
it does tell you security. No, what it tells you, think of it as an experiment. What is the experiment telling you if you run this experiment? The experiment is telling you who is available on a VHF UHF system, either at a shack or their own thing, at 8 a.m. in the morning.
Right.
There are a lot more licensed hams here at the company than participate in the net. You know that, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And a lot of people are not available at 8 a.m. to dial into that, or they don't have their own equipment, but that's fine because we have shacks and other things people can use.
But this is for emergency use, so it tells them that at least this number of hams have a radio that functions at 8 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, but that is very limited.
We can't rely on our shacks for use in emergencies.
And we can't rely on cell phones. Everybody
can't rely on the shacks. We can't rely on cell phones. Well, we could if you have an idea of changing the time.
No.
Check-in time, that, as I've had lots of other places where the check-in time was in the afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
Or at lunchtime.
Uses that way. Check-in times at noon.
We could try that. Maybe that'll work.
Yeah.
Traditionally, it's been at 8.
Yeah.
And I agree, a lot of people don't necessarily are on different schedules, and there are more people than that.
To see if we've got somebody available, just in case.
But, again, it's not telling them that. It's telling them who's available at 8 a.m., which may not be the same people who are available at 11 a.m. or 4 p.m. or whenever the need actually arises.
Yeah, that's understandable.
They're not going to have us check in all day long.
Right.
No. It gives them a data point.
They just know that if they have to reach out for somebody, that they've got 5 hams in different parts of the company available.
But they already have a list of folks that they can contact.
Yes, they do.
They don't have to limit themselves to the people who have checked in that day.
They probably won't limit themselves. They'll probably contact everybody.
Right. That's what they should do. And moreover, the people who are licensed hams who are interested in participating on that basis can
on their own, if an emergency is declared, check in. They can check in on Simplex. They can check into a shack. They can go check in on the repeater.
Yeah.
They can do that. I mean, as long as we establish those procedures, then we have a better system in place, and I think just relying on this net to tell you who's available.
Well, so both of them exist. This isn't the only thing. Those other people will show up on an emergency as well.
Aerospace.
But we're not having any nets at all for weeks. And it's going to look bad. I believe it's going to look bad on the club for us to say, yes, we're a wonderful club. Give us $4,000 a year. We provide this wonderful emergency communication service. And they say, we haven't had any of those emails.
What?
Of you guys checking in to the net or anything for months.
What other radio club has their nets every day? Everyone that I know of does it only once a week.
Xerox used to have theirs every day.
I don't know. I don't work at another company. We've done it here every day.
I don't know about Hughes.
Since I came to the company.
Northrop used to have theirs done every day. 8 o'clock in the morning when they were at B2.
Hmm.
I know because I was one of their club members. And again, like our club here, they would only have 5 or 6 check-ins in the morning,
mm-hmm.
or maybe 7 at the max. And they did that all the time B2 was down there. Now that B2 is gone, I don't know what happened to the club. But they...
But this is separate from the W6TRW club, or is that the same group?
No, Northrop B2 in...
Oh, this is the Northrop Grumman across the street here.
No, it's Northrop, not Northrop Grumman. It was before Northrop Grumman was...
Pre-Northrop Grumman.
It was pre-Northrop Grumman. It was Northrop that was fixing the B-2, and they were out at off of Imperial Highway and... what the hell's the name of the city they were in? I can't remember.
At the Hawthorne Airport?
Huh?
At the airport? Hawthorne Airport?
No. They got one at Hawthorne Airport, and they got one right here. But they were way out on the... Shit. I can't remember this thing.
Whatever.
They had a big manufacturing plant that manufactured B-2 out mm-hmm. there. It used to be the old Ford plant. And they manufactured the B-2. Name some cities out by Bell, California.
No, I don't even know where Bell is.
Yeah. They're out past Bell, California.
Okay.
In one of the cities out there. And they had a great big plant out there. And it was called the Northrop B-2 facility. And they had a club with about 40 members in the NRT. And they used to have morning check-ins. As you rolled up, the first thing you did when you got your coffee was check into the darn club on 2 meters, either Simplex or on 2 meter repeater. They had their own repeater. And yeah, they used to have a building at Hawthorne that had the club radio station down there where they disbanded that one and sold off all the radio equipment. They had a 60-foot tower down there with a 10 element, what's that, force 12 beam down there with 12 elements in there?
12 element beam? You mean an HF beam?
Yeah.
Holy crap. That's huge.
Did 40 meters all the way up.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Can't even imagine a 12 element HF.
The beam was almost like the beam that aerospace had, or Air Force had over here, with that log periodic they had down there. Well, I don't know what
PV or something.
No, aerospace had a log periodic that was on a 55-foot tower, and the boom for the darn thing was 40 feet, and it was a big V like that.
Hmm.
And they had the log periodic on there. They scrapped that thing up. It was there for years. And,
okay. Anyway, but I think whether we change the time, we need to do this via email. Maybe I'll put a poll out if there's a better time.
Well, isn't Teresa putting out a net through the repeater? A repeater?
No, she's been out on maternity for a while, so she hasn't been able to do it.
She's with her kid. at the time. So she can't do it at 8 o'clock. She was doing it at the beginning while she was still pregnant from Pasadena via the repeater. But then her after she had the kid, then it, she can't be on at the time, at that time.
One of the things that the emergency people over here that Cortez used to run down here that I think, I don't know who the emergency guy is, Jason, is he our emergency contact?
He's our security contact.
Yeah, security contact. He uses our emergency stuff in lieu of the radios that the company has, because, and I don't know the reason that Cortez had for it, but they were radio hams on one side and emergency stuff
security
on one side. Yeah, and they combined the two of them together because the emergency stuff wouldn't do ham radio stuff, and the ham radio stuff weren't allowed to do the emergency frequencies. And they used that as a, to get money for the club. In fact, that was one of the first things that they utilized. They said, we need this $5,000 a year because we're going to utilize in this stuff, and then they gave everybody out a vest and a blue hat and stuff like that and combined the two of them together. So we work hand in fist with the darn emergency people,
right?
One of our mainstays. And if you lose that, you're going to lose the club. That's old stuff, but unless you get something different.
Well, maybe we can try another time. That's better, more conducive for people. 8 o'clock is at the beginning of the day. Most people aren't actually at meetings and stuff a lot of the time. That's why it makes it convenient for people that are already here. Maybe 1 o'clock or in the afternoon after lunch or something. I don't know.
Well, we'll discuss it a little bit later on. Get the group together, discuss it, and see what happens.
All right, next is Christmas party. It's, I know that it's booked, and I'll probably be doing the raffles pretty soon. Raffle tickets, getting them already. I think we're going to do the similar raffle as last year, where it's just a dollar amount, and the winner designates their ham radio outlet that they want to buy from.
Yeah.
Or Amazon or whatever. It'll be at the Proud Bird because they have their contract again, at least in, through the end of the year. So we're back at the Proud Bird again.
Sounds good.
So the lunch is covered for folks who are.
Lunch is covered as long as you're a current paid member, and you can become a current paid member there. So. It's at least $12 for membership, and the tickets will be $20 for. Usually, I give them. It's $20, and you get 25 tickets.
Yeah,
I have it. It's all. I have a whole letter already written out.
Okay,
what it is.
Are you going to send them out in the mail?
Yeah, I can send them out in the mail.
Yeah,
I'll send you. Or we have one more meeting. I might be able to just hand them to you in the November meeting, or you can just pick them up there. Don't have to. Pick them up there and just then you don't have to deal with it in the mail.
Yeah, that makes good things in there. And you know, we've always had some good prizes in there.
Anything else?
Anybody
wants to discuss?
Oh, what do you want to do about the stuff I've got in the back of my van, the little tools?
Yeah, let's do that after the meeting.
Okay.
Okay, are we done? I wish Don was here because he had a cool thing with the SDR. Because he wants to set the SDR up, and his idea is for field day, we can have this running on a computer, and it shows us what frequencies to switch to that are busy with traffic.
Yeah.
So that we can get more contact.
Basically like a pan adapter.
Yeah, it's a pan adapter is what he's using now. It's a cheap one.
It's pretty handy to have. I mean, it was nice. It's nice using the P3 in the shack with the K3.
Let you know. People are really hopping like there's no tomorrow.
Okay. Thank you for are coming.
Well, on field day, a lot of times, you just keep dialing around. There's tons of people on. It's just, who can you hear? Yeah. Who are your antennas and your receiver able to hear? And who can you talk with? That's a smaller subset than the folks that you can hear sometimes with our antennas. So.
Yeah. And adapter lets you do a whole lot of things. You know, you can go almost out of the frequency you need to go to.
Well, thank you for coming, Ryan.
Okay, though.
Thank you, Archie.
Well, I said I was going to bring those things, so that'll work out pretty good.
Well, I need to head back to DH, so I can walk you back to the parking lot if you need to go back there.